I've seen that video a few times this morning already, and I don't know what your word is. My word was awe. It's just, it's outstanding, isn't it? It's big, it's extravagant. The stars and galaxies with their magnitude and the vast array of light, it is overwhelming. Some days I look up, but mostly I forget to. It's almost as though we can forget what is up there. Last week was a full moon, and while it was still low in the sky, it just looked enormous. And I was driving home from the station, and I don't know if you do this, but when I'm driving and the moon's big, you think the moon's following you or you're following the moon. I'm not sure how it works. But every time I turn into a new street, I looked out for it again. Where is it? Where is it on the horizon? And it just was so present. It was enormous. The moon had my attention. In Psalm 24, God has David's attention. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory might come in. God had David's attention. His posture, the posture of David's heart, was one of really looking towards God, of welcoming God into his life. As we watched that video clip, I don't know what image grabbed your attention this morning. For me, I mean, the stars are just outstanding, but it's almost too big to comprehend. But I particularly get captured by the rugged mountain scenes. If I had to choose between sitting on a relaxing beach on a tropical island somewhere or hiking a rugged mountain range somewhere quite isolated, I would choose the mountain range every time. Now, as you can imagine, when it comes to choosing holiday destinations, my ideas often get voted out. So I want to ask you today, did your heart stir as you watched those images? Did something grab your attention? Was there something in particular today that grabbed your attention? Was it the expanse of outer space seen up close? Was your heart stirred? Now, sometimes our hearts don't get stirred. Sometimes our hearts are heavy, and for good reason. Sometimes we are preoccupied, sometimes we are distracted, and our hearts don't get stirred. So for a minute now, I just want to invite you to turn to your neighbour, turn to the person you're seeing, or do a bit of a group. Did something grab your attention this morning from that video? And what was it? Turn to the person beside you. Lovely thing about this kind of thing is there's no wrong answers. So please turn to the person beside you. What grabbed your attention? What was it that struck you this morning as you saw that video? If you're feeling brave, just call them out.
Each of those bright lights is probably a galaxy.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
The song.
You love the song.
The word.
Yep.
The children's faces.
Yeah.
The crashing waves,
yep. Can you see how God had David's attention when he wrote Psalm 24? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it therein, the world and all those who dwell therein. The wonder of creation, the wonder of humanity, it captured David's heart. It stirred his heart to worship, and so he goes on and exclaims, "Who is this King of glory?" Not a desperate searching for answers, but a response of awe and wonder. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now, if you're like me, you can probably hear Handel's Messiah playing in the background as we say those words together. Creation and people stirred his heart to worship. Towards the end of that song, the images and the words shifted from the splendour of outer space, the splendour of the creation, to the wonder of humanity. I can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. We're in the third week of our series, More Than Enough, and today our theme is generosity towards others. Generosity is abundant, it is lavish, it's an overflow of a heart that's been stirred into action. It's so much more than being a nice person or a good person. When Commissioner Miriam Glewis introduced this year's self-denial appeal, she invited us to live in a big world. A world where we belong to one another. And the beauty of watching those self-denial videos each week and frankly each year is it brings our world so much closer together. Last week we heard from a lady who is running a big chunk of the Salvation Army's work in Indonesia. And she recounted the self-denial appeal helping her as a child. And now she's running the Salvation Army in Indonesia. It's just fantastic, isn't it? And we get to hear her story and our worlds become so much closer. And our hearts are stirred. So how do we stir our hearts? That intentional pressing into God. We worship God. We look up. And we behold our King of glory, the High King of heaven who is the Lord of our hearts. For this morning's earlier meeting at 9:30, I chose Be Thou My Vision. It's another favourite song, you know, our High King of heaven. To stir our hearts, we step into a big world with big hearts. But that is not always easy. I wonder sometimes our natural instinct is to shrink our world, perhaps even to shrink our hearts, to protect them, to protect us from the complexity and mess that other people can bring into our lives. Generosity, when you think of it, might sound a bit childish even. It is certainly childlike. A young child will look at the world with wonder. Do you remember a child asking you time and time again, why? But why? What is it? How? And as the child grows, its world gets bigger and bigger. But it doesn't take long for our worlds to start shrinking. We soon learn that our world is not always a safe place. Our cultural narratives, our family narratives, you know, the story that our family will tell us as we grow up. Our life experiences, our hurts, our disappointments, our failures, our losses. They can all shrink our world. And they can also shrink our generosity towards one another. A child born in Gaza, today is not born hating his or her neighbour. Nelson Mandela said it best. No one is born hating another person because of the colour of his skin or his background or his religion. People must learn to hate. And if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite. If only that was so true for generosity. Does generosity come natural to us? Or is it something we need to step into with big hearts and a big way of thinking? In our gospel reading today, we looked at Mark chapter 1, And after watching that video, can you imagine now the heavens being ripped open and the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus at his baptism? Does that image alone just fill you with wonder? But in verse 15, Jesus says at the beginning of his ministry, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Repent and believe in the good news about God. The Greek word metanoia is translated, I think, in most of our translations or versions of the Bible as to repent, which means to turn around and change the way that we're living. And like many Greek words that are translated into English, one word is never enough to fully convey the entirety of its meaning. Metanoia also means to open one's mind to a bigger way of thinking, to open one's mind to a bigger way of living. And as we read through the Gospels, we can see how Jesus does this for his disciples time and time again. He is always stretching their thinking. The disciples are from Galilee, a village and villages around Galilee. And he keeps stretching their thinking time and time again. By the end of Jesus' ministry, before he returns to heaven, he says to them that they will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the very ends of the earth. Can you imagine a group of followers from Galilee even imagining what to the very ends of the earth might mean for them? But they got it. In 3 years, Jesus changed their thinking from small village community in Galilee to the very ends of the earth. Metanoia, he opened up their minds to a much bigger way of thinking and living. He did this with story. He did this with different experiences. The Good Samaritan. The Samaritan was the hero. Who would have thought? The unlikely, the overlooked, the discounted, the despised, all became central figures in Jesus' plan. The kingdom way of thinking and living was much bigger than they could ever have imagined. It's generous, it's abundant, it is extravagant. You get the idea. Kingdom living is generous living. So how do we do it? How do we live like this? We worship and we make worship a lifestyle. Sometimes that can be really tough. I want to share with you a daily practice of yielding to God at the beginning of each day that I use. It comes from the Lectio 365 app, which is developed by the 24/7 prayer community in the UK. And the prayer app will P for pause, R for rejoice and to read and to reflect on a reading, A is for ask, and Y is to yield. And so this is the prayer, the yielding prayer that I pray each morning. Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. Amen. Now, if only that was easy to live out each day. And so the irony for me is, you know, you like to think that the person you have trouble with in life lives on the opposite side of the world. For me, it's my neighbour. So as I drive out the driveway each morning, I pass his house. He's not a very kind man. And so I have struggled to be kind to my literal neighbour. And so I pray this every day, reminding myself, trying to encourage myself to actually live out this prayer. And some days it's harder than others. Because it has to become a lifestyle. It can't just be words that we pray and leave, you know, on the couch beside us when we get up. It's got to be something we take into our day. So what does a lifestyle of worship look like? Reverend Samuel Wells is the vicar of St. Martin in the Fields in central London. It's a beautiful church just off Trafalgar Square, and it's, in many ways, it's a church just like ours. It's located in the centre of a city, and its midweek ministry is very much about serving the poor and the marginalised, and not just doing it in word, but actually doing it more so in deed, and trying to be really practical in the way that it does so. So St. Martin in the Fields, Parramatta Salvation Army, two very similar churches. Underneath St. Martin in the Fields, there is this beautiful crypt. It is an oasis from central London, and down there it is dark and kind of cosy and eerie. There's a beautiful bookstore, a cafe. They will often do concerts by candlelight in the crypt. Underneath our church, we have a car park. Same, same, but different. But our ministries are very similar. Samuel Wells has been the vicar there for many years, and he has attempted to reflect on what does it mean to live this lifestyle of worship in the middle of a city where there's great need around you. And so his book, The Nazareth Manifesto, seems to outline what does it look like to be with one another. Not just to advocate and do the work of justice, but to live side by side, shoulder to shoulder with people who are hurting. And like Kylie has already shared this morning, it's about being present. It's about being attentive. It's not necessarily having answers. Sometimes there are no answers. But it's about showing up, sitting down, being silent, listening to one another, sharing a meal, doing life together. A lifestyle of worship is very, very practical. So that is the invitation for each of us today, to live generously towards one another, to step out into a big world and to respond with big hearts. I want to finish our time together this morning with a prayer by Ted Loader. And as I read through this prayer, I was reminded how often and how easily it is that my heart shrinks. And perhaps I speak for all of us, that our hearts do shrink as we face the realities of our day-to-day lives. That we can so easily move away from generosity and kingdom living and live something so much smaller and so much less compelling. And so I invite you to step out with me today as we pray these words together into a bigger world this week. The words will appear up on the screen for us to follow. I think it's always good to be able to read the words that we're praying before we just have them, you know, before we just pray them together. So I invite you to read along with me today as we pray this prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Touch me with love, life-giving as light, to quiet my anger a little and gentle my desperation, to soften my fears some and soothe the knots of my cynicism, to wipe away the tears from my eyes and ease the pains in my body and soul, to reconcile me to myself, and then to the people around me, and then nation to nation, that none shall learn war anymore, but turn to feed the hungry, home the homeless, and care compassionately for the least of our brothers and sisters. Reshape me in your wholeness to be a healing person, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Expand me by your power, life generating as the sea, to accept and use my power to do something I believe in and be something more of who I mean to be and can be, to inspire me to dream and move, sweat and sing, fail and laugh, to link my passion with courage, my hope with discipline, my love with persistence, to enable me to learn from difficulties, grow in adversities, gain wisdom from defeats, perspective from disappointments, gracefulness from crises, and find joy in simply living it all fully. Release me through your power to be a powerful person, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, startle me with your presence, life sustaining as air, to open my heart to praise you, to open my mind to attend you, to open my spirit to worship you, to open me to live my life as authentically and boldly as you lived yours. Come, Lord Jesus, be with me in my longing. Come stay with me in my needing. Come go with me in my doing. Come struggle with me in my searching. Come rejoice with me in my loving. Amen.